We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, 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 no class, no balls. Hey, boy. Y'all better get your house in order, young Zell.
Sacktown thing, talking about us, it's a bounce out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us, then ain't no back spinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look towards the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam.
I know y'all didn't think we was going one verse, man. Come on now.
Sack crowd, make sure everyone knows. Let me tell you how this thing really goes. Yeah, we travel deep. Whether we home or on the road, we lit. You don't want that smoke. We the team of the year. We shaking things over here. Don't doubt. We believe over here. We don't bleed over here. And let me just real clear, only deal with real kings over here. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look toward the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now.
Yeah,
like
I'm stalling hey. For time because I got an idea. Hang on. We need to do something. We need to do something a little bit different. Hang on. Yeah, this what I was looking for right here. Hold up, man. We on one today. We feeling good. Let's go here. Let's go here. Since we celebrating, how come I don't see the screen?
I don't know.
Maybe I used the wrong one. Let me try this again. We're going to do this
we
again.
We back at it.
Nope, that ain't it. No, did this layout change? Hold up. Share screen, right? That's this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yo, we trying to ride with our. What am I missing?
I have no snare.
Can't
hear
the
snare.
Oh, it's there. Okay, that's hey. Okay. Hold up. Two verses ain't enough. We're going to do something different.
Young Zell.
We need a whole other song. Come on, Zell.
New Young Zell.
Let me take you where you can. Pop star B, put the paint where it ain't. I'm stacking up the money, got the change for the bank. And I ain't signing nothing, let the check coming blank. Don't let them see you high if they change on the low. Got the key to the city, now I'm changing up the dough. If he hating on me, he a lame, he a joke. No rag, no set, I got the gang with me though. Can't rock with me now if you didn't back then. Zell on the mic, on the beat of Sav 10. Backyard boogie and I'm slapping Mac 10. They tried to kick me out and I went right back in. They hella mad, can't deal with me though. I work too hard, can't build with me though. You ain't putting up your chicken, can't grill with me though. I know some real ones and they still with me though. Get off. You gotta tell them, get off.
Like the beam wasn't enough today.
Yes, sir.
That song, it was trash. I mean, we had a double knotted in a bag. Every beat that I kill come with tags. In the whip, 150 on the dash. So me, I'm so low key. I feel like T.I. cause you don't know me. You say you got it all, but you gotta show me. While they was sleeping on me bed, I was working OT. Brand going up, fans going up. We laid it all out, yeah, the plans going up. They bitter about the wins, can't stand going up. And they scared to risk it all, can't stand showing up. Get off. You gotta tell them, get off.
That's
get
our
off,
man right
off,
there.
Get off.
Sacramento.
Hey, shout out Young Zell. I know he's in the chat right now. He's in the chatty house. D'Lo and KC, we need a cameo. I can't speak for Damian. I ain't gonna be doing all that dancing. That's not my bag. But I need that cameo. You know what I'm saying? When the camera pans over, you know, with D'Lo and KC, we need a cameo in one of these videos, man. It don't have to be the next video. I'm just saying, one of these videos, we need a cameo.
Now somewhere, Allen Styles is going. If you don't want the radio show host, all up in your videos, all on the records.
Well, some in sack media like to play songs instead of talking sports.
Oh man, shout out to Young Zell on that one. What's good, baby? We welcome you in here to the Tuesday, April 8th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Borland.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
I don't feel so slummy today.
Man.
Let me tell y'all.
We got some things to talk about. We got some things to talk about. I need a temperature check. I need a bunch of stuff today.
Let's start with business, though.
Okay. Okay.
We're sitting there. I'm in the midst of a conversation, mm-hmm. a meaningful conversation. And I'm looking at the TV. I'm watching the last few seconds tick away like, they really about to do this.
Mm.
And for weeks, the Katie's girl, we got spring break next week. I was like, yeah, baby, I don't know if the Kings season might be over on Monday. Like, that day is going to be hell. Like, I can't be off Monday. If it's not, they got a play-in game Wednesday. I don't think it's going to be here. Now it might be here, but we probably won't know until Sunday night. Like, I can't make plans.
Right.
Boy, I watched Zach LaVine go crazy last night. And I say, baby, that score right there, that means we can make plans. That means we can make plans right there. Because I got to be honest, I didn't think that was going to happen. Not once, but twice. You get Cleveland and Detroit. And now it's all on our dubs.
Mm.
The Golden State Warriors take care of business tonight, mm-hmm. and the Sacramento Kings are at minimum the 10th seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go
okay, Lake whoa, Show
whoa, tomorrow. Whoa,
whoa. No need to play that.
And then you know we're starting to stare that home play-in game next Wednesday, right in the face.
I think the math is the Kings would have to lose out, and Dallas would have to win 2 of 3.
Okay.
For the Kings not to host that playing game.
Well, let's get to the other place of business then. The first team the Kings are going to play in that effort to lose all of the rest of the games is now the David Adelman-led Denver Nuggets. I'm going to say this for a second time, except on our show. You hoes better have your house in order before you start talking about other franchises. Everybody's got something to say about Sacramento. And I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. But we went through the quotes after the Taylor Jenkins firing. Boy, were they different.
Mm.
They were different. I can't wait to hear what everybody says about Michael Malone.
Mm.
Especially Michael Malone.
I need all the energy to be the same. That's all I ask. All the energy to be the same.
Mm.
Kyle Madsen on the Insiders, he was talking about how, I think it was during a commercial break, but he was talking about how, hey, what Michael Malone said was never wrong when he referenced the Mike Brown firing. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that at all.
Sure.
What I will say is, it was none of his damn business. It ain't none of your business. What's going on in somebody else's organization is none of your business. You don't know what went down, yet you got so much to say. So, same thing in this situation. It's none of our business, but we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. And here's the thing. People think I don't like I have no problem with Michael Malone. I have no problem with Michael Malone is fine with me. I think he's a great coach. A great coach. Seems like a good guy. But him speaking on things that he knew nothing about or that was none of his business, and his constant complaining, whining about Sacramento for the past, I don't know, 10 years or so, I was tired of it. I've been tired of it. Like stop with the whining, the woe is me. You know, I got fired from Sacramento. So what? People get fired every day in that profession.
Kenny.
Who cares?
Kenny. You ain't heard? It's the best thing that ever happened to him.
Oh, well, yeah. Good. Good.
He literally said that like 4 days ago.
The whining. That's what I got. Stop whining. No, nobody cares no more, B. Nobody cares. And just every time, oh, yeah, well, that's how they do things over there. Stop complaining. Stop crying. Stop whining. Everybody that moved on with their life. So Michael Malone, like, I don't have no problem. I want to reiterate. I ain't got no problem with Michael Malone, the coach, or even the person. He seems like a great guy. He is a great coach. He is a great coach. But that one specific area where you're just constantly whining and complaining and crying. Shut the hell up.
I think there might be more to it than that, though. It's not just the one. And from us, like, it's like, yeah, Mike, like, calm down, man. Michael, calm down, bro. But from the other perspective, because really, like, we could get our feelings off about Michael Malone again. I didn't cover him. I don't have the feelings that guys like James and the other people who – sure, like, whatever. All I see is just this stuff that he carries with him. I also see, and this is far more prevalent to what happened today than anything else, in my opinion, I see the way he talks about his players. Hmm. And, like, it's like, you know, all these guys, and he's a coach's son. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to that where, like, there was a time where, like, yeah, if you wanted to berate a player publicly, like, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Man, that's not this era of basketball anymore. Right. You can call the players soft. You can call the league soft. You can do whatever you want to. The fact is, this is a players' league, And you better be careful if you're going to pull that trigger, in calling a player out publicly. You better. We talked about it with Mike Brown and that famous Knicks game, The Knicks on TNT. It was the perfect time. He hadn't called them out all year, And he called them out collective, not individually. He called them out collectively after beating the New York Knicks on TNT and said, if we give up offensive rebounds like that, we're going to get destroyed in the playoffs. What happened? Like, Mike wasn't wrong.
Right.
He wasn't. But then he got really, really comfortable. He got really, really comfortable playing that card. And I think ultimately it can have an impact. If you play it right, If you just start throwing them out there, it's not going to have the same impact.
Thanks.
We'll come back.
I got some other thoughts on these coaches. No, you're good.
Let's
we
talk about
handle
it.
Business, and I got some other thoughts on these coaches when we come
Michael
back.
Michael Malone out as the head coach of the Denver Nuggets. Calvin Booth out as the general manager of the Denver Nuggets. But this isn't Denver radio. Sacramento Kings have won 3 straight. They beat 2 playoff teams in a row, and we are a Golden State Warriors win away from the Sacramento Kings, securing a spot in the postseason tournament. That's coming up. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Thielen and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. What's wrong with you?
Hold on, what you mean?
One, you ain't say nothing to us the whole
It's
open.
Been 13 minutes.
Well, that's 13 minutes. You ain't say
God,
nothing.
Jesse, well, smile, Jesse. More talk, more, Jess. Like a guy can't just get into the flow of the show and start, huh?
Jesse,
do this, Jesse. What's wrong, Jesse?
Jesse over here, like, he lost his smile. He's like, we're back. Hey.
No, we're a little tired. That's it.
Okay. All right. Puppy, all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Long night with the show. That's what happened. Long night with the show.
Nah, my fiance works a real job, so we got to walk her out at 4:00 in the morning.
That's normally how this game should work, is we marry someone who has a real job.
That's the only way you make it in this business.
Yeah, well, certainly going a different route with that right now, but Jesse's got a wife to be with a real job. Of course, Jazz got a real job.
That presents its own issues as well.
The real job?
Yeah.
No. Well, it was all fine till whoever decided state workers need to go in 4 days a week or whatever it is.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Math ain't mathin'. We'll see, though. Had a long discussion about that.
Okay. I could see Jazz just going, no. Okay.
I think a lot of people are saying.
It's all right, Mrs. Carroll. You just stay home. It's fine. It's fine. We don't want to upset you.
A lot of people are going to say that.
I believe you, Jazz. Jazz like the referee with Mike. I believe you. If you say it happened, I believe you.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to go that route. Real quick, because I do want to – we need to get to the Kings, man, because there's a lot of questions we got to ask about the Kings. There's a lot of things on the table now about the Sacramento Kings that I want to get to. One last thing that I want to get to, or we may come back to it. Trista Crick going to be on, so we'll talk about it at some point. But these coaches and, you know, our guy Matt George, you know, he's been on the front lines this morning about Michael Malone and these coaches being fired and all this other stuff, and that's cool. One of the things Matt talks about a lot is like these coaches holding players accountable, players don't like it, mm-hmm. and, you know, they get fired. And he says that's soft. And one of the things I thought about was Matt has been a big proponent of the front office being the problem. And James says it too. I'm talking about here specifically in Sacramento. Front office was the problem. They didn't get Mike Brown the right players so he could do whatever he needs to do, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And I thought about something. He's getting paid $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. You be successful with whoever the hell is out there. If you, as a coach, if you coaching is getting you $10 million a year, oh, you get successful with whoever's out there. You figure it out. $10 million a year, I'll say it. Coaches are overpaid in the NBA. $10 million a year, and here's the thing. I'm paying you $10 million, whether it's Mike Malone or Mike Brown,
yeah.
to be reliant on the players.
Well, you still got to get the right guys in. Like, it's not just, here's a bunch of guys, make this work.
If I give you $10 million, yeah, here's a bunch of guys, make it work.
No, that's not fair. It doesn't work that way.
What am I giving you $10 million for? What am I giving you $10 million a year for?
I just won you a championship a few years ago.
No, Jokic won me a championship. I found the player to get him in here.
That's not fair.
How's it not fair?
You're asking, so coaches don't matter. I know you don't like coaches.
But I don't think that's the case.
That's wild to
me.
The
players matter. And more importantly, if I'm being that way, the people who find the players matter. Now, if you want to have the coach being one and the same, that's cool. But if you're solely, like, Matt's argument has always been they didn't get him the players. That's why they couldn't be successful. Then why am I paying you $10 million?
I don't think Matt's take is wrong. Like, I think both things can be true. Like, I still think Mike is a good coach. Like, Mike Brown. I think there are things I think Mike knows basketball, loves basketball, eats, breathes, sleeps basketball, all of that stuff. But I think that's different than like leading. And maybe you could be a great coach, but you're not the best leader. Maybe Mike isn't the best leader. But I think both things can be true. Like, you could be a good coach and not have the right players. Like, you can not have the right guys around you. You could be missing a component on the floor. You could be missing a component as a head coach. Like, I think the idea that no matter, as a general manager, no matter who I put out there on the floor for you, you have to make it work is a bit... That's a bit short-sighted, in my opinion. Why am I paying you $10 million? Because that's the going rate for head coaches. Sorry, Jesse.
Mike Malone's gotten 47 wins out of this group, too. Like, he got fired, but like, if it wasn't the right group, like, he still got 47 wins.
This wasn't a move for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was bizarre.
This was a move because maybe they heard us yesterday. maybe Denver's also tapped into D'Lo and KC, and they were like, yeah, we don't have a shot at winning a title. Mm. Calvin Booth, I think, if I saw Chris Haynes' tweet correctly, they were negotiating a contract this offseason, didn't come to terms on it. And so they're probably looking at it like this group, the exact conversation we had yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not trying to be funny. I'm dead serious. They had to have had the same conversation we've had yesterday where like this group has run its course. Let's bring in a different general manager without the emotional attachment to these players to figure out is what can we do? How can this team look if we move on from Michael Porter Jr.? How can this team look if we find, you know, a dream scenario trade for Jamal Murray? And I know this is outrageous. I promise you, I recognize this is outrageous. But Denver, at least the ownership people, at least need to have a conversation of how long do we think Jokic really wants to do this? Mm-hmm. He literally hates basketball. Hmm. Jokic shows up for work like the state workers on the first day of the 4-day mandate. Like, he is not happy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jokic, you just won the title. I don't want to do the parade. I want to go home. Hmm. All right, dog. Like, that's bad for Denver. That's bad for the NBA. It's bad for everybody except for the writers who freaking love his ass. Mm-hmm. But, like, they have to ask themselves those tough questions. And this move was made. I don't think this move had anything to do with today, tomorrow night at the Golden 1 Center, the next three games, or the playoff series. It has to do with how they're approaching this offseason, and I think it's a pretty good glimpse into what we're going to see from Denver.
Yeah, I think their run is over with this group, and that's perfectly fine. They've had this group together for 5-6 years. Like, yeah, that's about right. That's the same thing we talk about with Milwaukee and, you know, their run being over. Like, runs don't last forever. The Warriors are an anomaly. It's usually about 5 to 7 years max with what you're trying to do. But going back to that point about Mike Brown, Keegan Murray makes $8 million a year. His performance is less, and I know it's a rookie deal, so I understand that, but his performance is less valuable than Mike Brown's lineups and rotations.
It's apples to oranges. Well,
no, it's not the same comparison. That's not the Mike. That's the going rate for a coach.
I think the coaches are overpaid. That's probably what I'm saying. $10 million a year, and then you complain about, well, you didn't give me, bro. I'm paying you $10 million a year,
Mike. To the best of my knowledge, neither Mike complained.
Publicly, no.
I mean, I think Mike Brown said something once.
Well, and publicly.
De'Aaron complained publicly about it. What's that say about De'Aaron? De'Aaron makes $40 million
a year.
And what
I'd always say about De'Aaron Fox. You make a $40 million
a year.
Stop
being a hoe?
I never said that about De'Aaron Fox. But you make $40 million a year. Find a way to be better than 10th.
Yeah, he threw the whole roster under the lineup in a postgame.
And I said that immediately. I said, mm-hmm. I don't like that. You're making $40 million. You're supposed to be the dude. What you worried about if they have Jake LaRavia or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm asking you not to be 10th.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
I'm asking you not to be 11th. I'm not asking you to win a championship. I'm asking you and Matt says it's a garbage taking all this other stuff. I'm asking you, Mike Malone, at $10 million a year, not to be 11th in the West. That is not a crazy ass.
Well, what's Mike Budenholzer make?
Who knows?
Mike, probably well, I think somewhere he makes like 12. There. He makes like 11. That's the going rate for the coaches.
I'm telling you, they make too much money to be complaining. Like, because I bet you, if you ask Mike Malone, and this is the problem, I bet you that's the going rate. That's what it is, or whatever. And we talk about accountability.
Huh? Budenholzer's at temper.
We talk about accountability and all this other stuff. I bet you Mike Brown or Michael Malone or Budenholzer. Well, the front office, they tied my hands with all this. Bro, you're making $10 million a year. You figure it out. You figure something out. It doesn't mean they don't have to go get you good ball players, but Matt's been saying the whole time, Mike Brown couldn't succeed because of the front office. You're making $10 million a year. Yeah. Figure it out.
Why are you, I guess, so the whole, because you're really fixated on the whole.
That's a hell of a lot of money to be blaming somebody else.
But is it
it's yes, the going rate. I get that. You're making a lot of money to figure this out.
Okay.
You're not making $10,000 a year. You're making $10 million for a reason, because you're supposed to be one of the elite or one of the best 30 coaches in the world.
What's it say that?
Figure it out.
Like, Doug couldn't figure it out. Zach LaVine, Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, none of these guys could figure it out. Doug's making however much money, he couldn't figure it out. Zach LaVine's getting paid however much, he couldn't figure it out. Like, the team just sometimes isn't good enough.
I'll put it to you like this. If the Kings made the playoffs this year, would Doug Christie be crazy for asking for $11 million a year?
Yes, because he's not a 50-win coach like Mike Brown or Mike. He doesn't want to bring like Mike Budenholzer or Mike Malone have before.
Would he be crazy for asking? No.
Should he demand? I'm ripping this up.
Doug shouldn't demand anything. Like Doug
won anything. Like
Doug, I'm sorry. Give me the parameters again. He makes the playoffs.
Just make the playoffs this year.
Like you can ask for $20 million if you want. Demand it? I wouldn't demand anything if I was Doug Christie, but I think he has an argument to be the Sacramento Kings head coach. But those guys, and we went over this exhaustively just last offseason because we were dealing with the Mike Brown stuff. Who makes in the range of $9 to $10+ million a year? Mm-hmm. And they were all it was Michael Malone. It was coaches of the ilk of Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. Your history in the league like plays a part in this, and Doug doesn't have one yet, and I don't think that necessarily means he needs to start at $6 or $7 million. I can't remember what JJ got. That was obviously a person that they coveted. He's also, you know, his parameters might be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown wasn't a former player. JJ is. You probably have to get his attention. You probably have to get former players like him, J. Kidd, other guys like that. You probably have to get their attention a little bit differently than a guy who came up in the film room, mm-hmm, or a career assistant or whatever. Assistants don't make millions of dollars. Mm. Many of them don't make, unless, and maybe Adelman is an exception, maybe unless you're the guy who is right next to the head coach, mm-hmm, you don't make $1 million. You make hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the idea of negotiating your first contract at $10 or $11 million because you made the playoffs, hey, good luck. I don't know that works because, again, much like we're talking about the going rate for coaches of a certain success rate, the going rate for a first time head coach is going to be a little bit different.
Understandable.
Mike Brown was one of the lowest paid coaches in the league when he took the Sacramento Kings job.
Understandable 100%. The whole thing, and like I said, maybe Matt's tweets triggered something in me, whatever.
Apparently. But yeah, you hate coaches.
We stress accountability for these players. Zach LaVine, he's talking about holding players accountable. Mm-hmm. Zach LaVine, what they talk about damn near all the time, when he makes X amount of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. So he should perform. He should do this, he should do that. This guy, these coaches make X amount of dollars, yet there's no accountability when they're not performing at their job. Mm-hmm. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always the front office didn't get me what I needed. Bro, you're making $10 million a year. Making $12 million a year. If it's so reliant on the players that you have, then I understand it's the going rate, mm-hmm, but why is that the going rate? Why am I paying you that much money? If it's so reliant, like if nothing is to your fault or anything. Every time we hear Mike Malone, the front office couldn't get along with them. Mike Brown, front office didn't get him his players. If we're talking about holding players accountable, especially because of their dollar figure, why do we not hold coaches available or accountable, for not being successful?
Well, Mike Malone got fired before MPJ got traded. Mike Malone's gone before those guys are.
I think he's being held accountable for
and
that.
And what happens when they get – no. Matt, call in if you need to because he's in the chat or whatever.
Will you leave Matt alone? What did he do?
He's in the chat too. But he talking – where's the defense for the Nuggets doing what they had to do? There is no defense, right? Everybody's talking about it's ridiculous. Matt went on a rampage how ridiculous it is that Mike Malone got fired. Or Mike Brown. Matt won't stop talking about how ridiculous it was Mike Brown got fired.
I thought I just laid out why they did it.
No, you did. I'm talking about people in general.
Maybe if it was Locked On D-Lo, KC would listen to me. Matt, get me on the network. Locked On D-Lo.
What I'm saying is there's not once. Maybe I'm wrong because I listen to it a lot. Maybe I listen to every episode. Uh-huh. Maybe Matt has said, hey, Mike Brown wasn't getting the job done And at that price tag, you got to get fired if you're not getting the job done. But more times than not, he got fired because the front office didn't do their job. That's not accountability.
Just send somebody, Mac the link in case he's
sitting
home.
For somebody that continues to preach accountability, Mike Malone does the same thing. He want to be accountable. There. Mike, you weren't getting along. You weren't talking to people. You were running around that building not communicating with people. Being a jerk in that respect. Like, you got to be accountable for your role and why things weren't working that way. And we want to make players accountable every time something doesn't happen with them because of their price tag. But the second I make a coach accountable for their miscomings because of their price tag, now that's a garbage take.
Okay. All right. Now I think I'm starting to get this a little bit. Your anger. Your sheer anger is directed at the way people are covering Michael Malone's firing.
Coaches firing. Even the way the coaches talk about each other. Okay,
that's different. I think that's different.
They're never in the wrong.
Well, they're police officers. That's right. They're police officers. They police each other.
They're a
group within themselves, and they will, guys like Rick Carlisle, those guys, they'll kind of protect each other.
Never in the wrong for things going wrong.
Yep.
But when a player is making a lot of money, you're paid X amount of dollars to perform at this level. But when a coach is paid X amount of dollars for his team to perform at this level, it's always somebody else's fault.
Okay.
It's not their fault.
I don't.
And that's why I'm saying I'm paying you $10 million. Like, you got to wear that. Like, Mike Brown, you're 13-18. That's not on Mike Malone. You were 13-18. I'm paying you $10 million.
Mike Brown, yeah.
I'm paying you $10 million to not be 13-18.
Yeah.
Like, so, oh, well, if they would have got him the right players. Nah, bro, I'm paying you $10 million.
Well, they're paying Doug $10, and he's had the same record roughly. Like, he has a group of different players. Like, okay. I'm working through this. So when Zach LaVine doesn't do what he's supposed to do, he's a $40 million player.
And they always bring up the money.
Of course,
right?
They do. That's my thing. We've talked about this extensively. We talked about it with De'Aaron. There was when De'Aaron's current contract kicked into place, the dialogue around him was going to change because he's now one of them guys. Mm-hmm. And with a pay raise comes a raise in expectations. We're seeing it maybe a little bit more subtly with Domantas Sabonis, and a lot of it is the frustration in the season. He, as great as the last 2 days have been, and we haven't spent a single second talking about the fact they've beaten two playoff teams in a row, we're arguing about a coach who was fired like 4 months ago. but like you bring up those numbers, and when you get one of those. When you get one of those contracts, it's like Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. is a really good basketball player. But he makes 30-some-odd million dollars. Like, we've seen over the last couple of days what Zach LaVine can do. But if Zach LaVine's going to make $40 million, you got to do that every night. Okay. So your frustration lies within when Zach LaVine isn't scoring 37 a night, he's untradeable, he stinks, he's not good, and he makes $40 million. Mm-hmm. And it's all on him. Mm-hmm. Whereas when Michael Malone falls short, Mike Brown falls short, it's not, well, he makes $12 million or $10 million. He needs to be better at this. Mm-hmm. He needs to just coach the players that he has. It's, well, they didn't get him the right players.
Exactly.
Okay. I still disagree with that 100%. But at least I understand what you're so angry about.
Mike Malone got fired because he lost the locker room. Like, there's a clip going around talking about how players don't watch film and all that. Like, he still got 47 wins out of this team that don't work. I don't think this argument works for Mike Malone.
But
like,
so
he
got also, the most but also Mike Malone's like
the fourth seed right
his,
now.
Yeah, he's not getting paid what he's getting paid for them to be the fourth seed and possibly the eighth seed. He's getting paid what he's getting paid for them to win a championship.
Win a championship.
And he's not doing his job.
Fine, but he's got one. Like, that's fine, but like, you can't just win a championship every year.
He might have
you get paid to win a championship every year.
Zach LaVine, well, that's the thing. Like, it just like
Zach LaVine gets paid to be an all-star every year.
And he's not.
So what do people say about him?
Let me, he's overpaid. Let me ask you another question. Is a head coach... I feel like this could get me in trouble. Is a head coach... I was going to try to draw a comparison to another sport, but I'm going to try to abandon that and work this on the fly. Is a head coach as dependent on another person or another group as anyone else in professional sports? Meaning, in fact, a head coach might be dependent on two groups. His group of players, mm-hmm. and of course he has a very important role in that, mm-hmm. as well as his front office, who in most cases, not all of them, but in most cases, particularly in basketball, I can't think of one that's not, the front office personnel is the head coach's boss. Mm-hmm. Is there another position in professional sports that that individual, single individual, is like relying so heavily on two different groups?
Probably not. I talk about
I was this. Trying to draw a comparison to quarterbacks, but like I
yeah, quarterback. I understand where you because that was the first thing I thought about. Yeah, too, but it's still a little
there's
different.
Very few quarterbacks who can make what was the Tony's guy? Austin, Miles Austin.
Oh yeah,
Miles Austin stunk. Right. Except Tony Romo made him a very rich individual.
Right,
but not like there aren't a lot of Bradys. There aren't a lot of guys who just. Who's my quarterback? Great. I'm going to make him a star.
Right.
There are very few like that.
And I say this all the time with a guy like Kyle Shanahan. Once the play is selected and that's the play he drew up, he's done his job. Right? But he gets judged on whether or not this guy made a block or ran a route. Like to your point of being reliant – he's done his job, and his success, whether like he's looked at as deemed as successful or not, is completely reliant on these guys doing their job. Completely reliant.
But, okay, so you don't – that's not true in basketball?
I'm talking about as a coach. As like a Mike Brown can draw up – what Kelvin Sampson
so what
can draw
you
up
have
a perfect
guys
play.
Who aren't capable – of running what Mike is telling you to, Mike or Michael or Calvin Sampson.
Don't have them run that play. That's your job, is to understand who your guys are, what their limitations are, and what their strengths are. And you play to their strengths. I'm not going to run a double, what's the, close the gate, three-point shot for Alex Len. That's not his strength. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but
no, I don't think it is. Well, I think you're correct.
But I'm going to say, like, I'm exaggerating on like what you would do. I wouldn't do that. This is the team that I have. I'm not going to put them in a situation to fail. Basically, I'm not going to have an offense or a defense for them that's going to make them fail because yes, this works in theory, but that's not the personnel I have. So I'm not going to keep trying to force this into this personnel.
I saw you make a face. You absolutely made a face.
I just said it's not with our guy Casey.
Okay.
All right. That's cool. And people we'll go to break, but people are completely missing what I'm saying. Oh, Kyle Shanahan should be fired 29 coaches. That's not what I'm not saying.
Okay,
Mike Malone.
You can't fight all of us.
Or I'm not yelling. But no, they need to be perfectly clear. I'm not saying Mike Brown should have been fired. Mike Malone should be fired. I'm telling you, if you're gonna talk about how terrible Zach LaVine is because of his dollar figure, it is not out of bounds to talk about how bad Mike Malone or Mike Brown is doing the job they're doing because of their dollar figure.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
If anyone thinks this show is planned, I don't know
it's
what
not.
To tell you.
It's really not.
We're literally trying to figure this out on the air. I think I saw Matt George is going to – I don't know, man.
He's got the link in the phone
apparently,
number if he wants
apparently,
it.
Apparently, Kenny's just going to scream at us the whole day. We know nothing. We're coaches in the NBA here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh, Kenny yelled at us the whole commercial break. You bring it back from what you want me to do? All getting chastised.
Like I said during the break, one of the cancer traits that I have is I look at things, and some things just need to be fair across the point. Whatever energy that you have for these players because they make $40 million a year, it should be the same energy that you have for these coaches who are making top dollar.
Do you?
Mike Budenholzer, he's making $12 million a year. He did a bad job this year.
You think Mike Malone did a bad job?
Yes, for what they're trying to do. Like, it'd be great here in Sacramento.
But do you think they're
trying to win a championship?
But, like, talking about the game and all, like, do you think that's – do you think there's more he could get out of this team right now? You don't think it's run its course yet?
So that's the chicken or the egg situation.
Right now, like, we talked about the last 2 years, actually. Like, yeah, these players are kind of running its course. Like, maybe the Nuggets are coming towards the end of their window. We've talked about that multiple years and all that. It's like, but you still got them as the fourth seed right now.
And they could be the eighth seed.
Yeah, but they're not.
By the end of the week, they could be the eighth seed. They're tied.
Well, if they are, then you go to that, but they're the fourth seed right now. Like 47 wins from a team that we've talked about. Looks like it's starting to come to an end.
So I ask you that, and that's fair.
And I ask the same question about the Kings,
too. If Missoula was the fourth seed, would it be okay?
No, because the team is much better.
Expectation.
Well, no, the guys you have is much better. Like Derek White, those guys are in their prime.
That's also what we're not going to do. Because I've been the only one, I think maybe you did too, Jesse, maybe us three, have been saying Denver is not a championship contender. Everybody has had them as a championship contender all year long. Everybody has. So we can't switch that up now. We're like, they're not as good as Boston. Not to you. I'm just saying.
As long as you're right.
Like, we can't do that. Everybody's in OKC, Denver. They had them on a championship level. So that's the expectations. Four seed ain't good enough. If you got them on a championship level.
Well, he's been yelling at you all morning, Matt. Just yell back.
First off, I can't wait for next Halloween because my Kenny Caraway impression is going to be me just screaming about how much I hate head coaches in the NBA because, dear God, KC. Look, the thing that I said was a garbage take about what you said. It's not the accountability aspect for head coaches because they absolutely have a job to do, too. It's the fact that, Mike Brown is paid $10 million a year or Michael Malone is paid however much money he is per year. So he should make it work. He should just win. Like, the execution is up to the players on the court. So I hear what you're saying, but I also think head coaches are historically, you talk about accountability, head coaches are historically in all sports, not just the NBA. They're the fall guy. When something goes wrong, the head coach is the first guy to get fired before guys are traded away because it's easier to get rid of one guy than it is to replace an entire locker room. Mm-hmm. But Michael Malone won a championship. What's the one thing, the first thing you said, KC, you said, no, Nikola Jokic won a championship. Okay, so when they win, it's because of the players. But if they're losing, it's because the coach got to do it. Like, that's the issue that's in the NBA, especially, that we're seeing a lot this year that I just disagree with, especially when we're seeing a consistent trend this season of head coaches who are known for being kind of hard asses, who are known for speaking their mind and calling people out when they're not doing their jobs and they're not executing. Those are the head coaches that are losing their jobs. The difference between Mike Brown and Jenkins and Malone is Mike Brown actually got fired at a time where it's reasonable. Like, you lost five in a row. You're 5 games under 500. You're underperforming. All right, you got fired. I hated it. I thought it was ridiculous that they fired Mike Brown before they tried to make the improvements to the roster that need to be made. That being said, Jenkins and Malone are firmly in playoff pictures with stars on their team that like them. Ja Morant, it came out, Ja Morant supports Taylor Jenkins. We know Nikola Jokic, unless something drastically changed in the last couple months, Nikola Jokic and Michael Malone love each other. So this idea that these coaches can get fired because they rub people the wrong way because they're hard asses, but if they get results, like, why is the coach the one to take the fall guy, especially at this point in time when we're 3-4 days away from the playoffs? So my issue with your take was never about coaches needing to be held accountable. My issue with your take is the idea that coaches should be held accountable and should, because they're paid $10 million, which, by the way, doesn't count against the salary cap. So you can pay a coach however much money you want to pay the coach. The players, the reason why we talk about how much money a player's paid, because Zach LaVine's paid so much money, the Kings can't upgrade their roster anymore because of how much money Zach LaVine's being paid. So that's why we talk about players being paid versus coaches being paid, in my opinion, at least, KC.
So, and real quick, Matt, the one thing that I'll say, like I said, I know you're talking in general, but you're talking to me when I said Jokic won them a championship. Who's the one person in this city that does not crap on Luke Walton and say he was a bad coach?
You.
Me. Because when it went bad, I didn't say Luke Walton sucks as a coach. I said those players need to perform better. Who knows if what he's saying works, because he can't get him to dribble two times without messing up. It's the player. So I can say Jokic won him a championship, because in the same breath, I won't tell you a coach should be fired because these players aren't playing well.
Or both are true. Luke Walton isn't a good head coach, and the Sacramento Kings were a bad basketball team.
Could be that. That could be the case, too.
I know no one's listening to me. I understand we're 52 minutes into this.
Come on, we'll talk about the Kings. We'll talk about the Kings.
No.
About the Kings.
Well, we'll talk about the Kings now. But, Matt, I think the reason Michael Malone was fired, and I think the tip of the hand was Calvin Booth being gone as well, was the acceptance and understanding this group is not winning them a championship. Yeah. This group is going nowhere. They are preparing. My feeling with letting Calvin Booth go, one, Chris Haynes had the report they couldn't come to a contract extension this offseason, despite the fact that they tried. But they want to bring in a general manager that has no emotional attachment to anyone on this roster. And so if you have to move Jamal Murray to make this team better, if you have to move Michael Porter Jr. to make this team better, you don't have a guy like Calvin Booth who might have a certain emotional attachment to that. You're going to fire the head coach, move on from the general manager, hire the general manager first, let him hire his head coach. It's basically Denver recognizing we're not winning a title. That's a tough thing to accept with a player like Nikola Jokic on it. It's a tough thing to accept when you're, potentially the third seed in the conference. But can I pull up this steady? I keep the standings up. So the third seed, 48 in 30. So that's four games left. What did Sacramento win? 48 games. Mm-hmm. Remember how bad the third seed was because the Sacramento Kings won 48 games. If the Lakers win two more, wow, what a difference between 48 and 50. Is the 50 number so magical that, oh, man, boy, what a conference it was this year. No one's going to say a single thing about that. But you're looking at Denver like that's a team that could compete for the third spot. They recognize they can't win a series. And they're preparing for what next? They're preparing for what this offseason is going to look like. Yeah. And to me, this was Denver throwing in the towel, knowing that they didn't have a chance to do what they set out to do back in October.
And that makes sense. Not firing Mike Malone, but like the
thought. I don't necessarily agree with it. Yeah, I just feel like as I'm working through this, that's what I think it means.
Through all of this, I don't think Mike Malone should have been fired in general or when he was. Like that's not what I'm arguing for or anything like that. But the thought process of the Calvin Booth thing and resetting your roster after this run looks like it's to be over, that makes perfect sense. If I was Denver, unless there's some information that we don't know about, I would have done it with Mike Malone as the head coach.
But, I would have too.
But I don't know.
I would have too.
But my thing is, why are you throwing in the towel when you still got to fight?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't
you're going to be a postseason team to some capacity. Mm-hmm. So finish it out. If it doesn't work, then now you have all the ammo in the world to get rid of Michael Malone if you want to. And I still would think it was a stupid decision. But you're doing it days before the playoffs. Unless there was a moment, which there's also some poetic justice, guys. I think Michael Malone is here in Sacramento. So to get blindside fired in Sacramento twice in the same career is brutal.
That would be absolutely nuts.
They play tomorrow.
Malone is listening.
Or what if he was on? I mean, because they're either here or he was on his way to the airport.
Well, no class, no balls. I want to hear about it.
That's the thing. That's what's also perplexing. It's like something had to have happened to where, because it's pretty well documented that Calvin and Michael didn't like each other. Okay. So did they have like a boiling point fight to the point where like that was the straw that broke the camel's back? What made the Denver Nuggets wake up this morning and go, today's the day? We still got three games to play.
Does Michael like anybody? Like, who does Michael like?
DeMarcus.
He loves Deuce and Moe.
Well,
there's that.
There you go.
And I've had good interactions with Michael when he was here in Sacramento and even beyond at All-Star break. So I love Michael a ton, but I mean, he's known for kind of his abrasive style, but he's very super well respected around the league for pretty much everybody that you talk to. And I think James put it really, really well earlier on the insiders. He's going to get a job. Like, he should be the front runner for the Spurs job if Popovich, unfortunately, can't continue. Like, he's going to get a job. There's going to be so many vacancies. It's not going to be here in Sacramento. That bridge is torched. But he's going to get a job somewhere.
No bridge
somewhere.
Is torched. No bridge is torched.
Well, Vivek better come in with him with a ton of flowers, because you know Michael's not going to be the one to approach that conversation.
That'd
hey.
Be the greatest eat crow moment ever.
Just, hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike. Oh, $12 million, pal.
What would be more shocking? Michael Malone coming back to Sacramento or CM Punk coming back to WWE?
That's the best, the perfect, that is the yeah, perfect analogy
Michael Malone
right there.
Would be more
no. That, no, because Vince got to leave and Triple H took over.
That's a good point. That's
Vince
a good
McMahon's
point.
Still here in Sacramento. As
far so, when Lance. So when Anjali is running things.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
What
Jeremy
a crazy
Lamb makes way more sense. Yeah,
what a nuts. This season has been insanity.
Hey, it's crazy. I know it's not Thursday. You're not even scheduled to be here. You were just getting yelled at for an hour straight. The Kings beat Matt, the Detroit Pistons last night.
I love you, Matt.
Will someone please talk about this with me? The Kings beat two playoff teams in a row. They've won three straight games since that Washington Wizards debacle. Mm. Do you have anything to say about that?
Oh, I have to be positive about the Kings now? Oh, look at the time. I gotta walk my cat.
Okay.
No, that was a hell of a win. I mean, awesome. I said it on the podcast last night. It doesn't change how I feel about the future of this team, but that fight that we saw over the last 2 days, like even the most bitter, angry Sacramento Kings fan can't be upset at that, because that's mm-hmm. everything that this city wants. Mm-hmm. Right? That was guys fighting, and they had every reason in the world to fold. Now, we wouldn't have accepted the excuse of them folding down 18, final game of the last road trip, third game in 4 nights, no Malik, no Keegan. You can line up all the excuses on the planet. None of us would have accepted them, because they've used all their get-out-of-jail-free cards already.
Yeah.
That being said, they still existed, and this team fought through it, battled through Zach LaVine on an absolute like nuclear game that overshadowed a 37-point night from DeRozan. And no one's talking about DeMontis Sabonis' triple-double, by the way. Mm. Like, Domas had a triple-double. I was like, whatever. Like, it
well,
was a
that's
phenomenal
because,
win.
That's because Domas has too many triple-doubles that they lose.
Fair. Yeah. Fair. And like, I'm not saying that as a shot. I'm just
no,
saying, like,
it's
LaVine was so good that yeah. your teammate had a triple-double, and everyone's like, all right. And Keon Ellis played phenomenal defense on Cade Cunningham, but ended the game with 2 points on 2 shot attempts. Like, Devin Carter went on a 7-0 run by himself. Like, there was a lot from that game that was really, really fun. So even the pessimistic, bitter, angry Matt George heel Sacramento Kings reporter, commentator, whatever the hell I am over here, can look at that game and acknowledge it for what it was and be excited about that performance. And then, but I will say, and I know a lot of Kings fans feel the same way, I don't want to be fooled again. Don't get me back in, because the up and downs of this season, I don't want to be fooled again.